I want to see how much you can embarrass Michael Anthony right now.
Oh, boy.
I'll take care of that. Hold on.
Yeah. He's never been out drinking with me.
No. It's not what you think at all. I want you to talk about what it's like to play with him as a bassist, because, you know, what's funny is Michael doesn't win bass polls, you know, when people talk about the greatest bassist in the world, you know, his name does not come up. Yet, he has played alongside two of the greatest guitar players in the world. What is it about him as a bass player that really works with great guitar players?
He was stuck with me when he joined us.
See, Mike came attached to me.
Well, he's fucking great. There you go. That's about it. I mean, I can wax. I have great stories that are great in my mind because they're these little, you know, private moments in the studio or like when we're recording or when I'm overdubbing and I'm just focusing on it and I'm going, you know, push up Mike's fader, let me hear exactly what he's doing there. And you go, wow, listen to that, mm-hmm. you know. And then you get to play off of it and it's like jumping on the biggest wave. You're at Mavericks and you're riding the big wave and there he is, he's plowing through the tune.
Right.
He's got all this great stuff. He's always, you know, and we didn't really talk about these things. I'd email him a demo or, you know, or part of a song. We'd write, you know, Sam said, in the studio, and then we'd record what we just wrote. So everyone was sort of doing their thing. Everyone was getting a little bit of theirs, right?
Yeah.
On every song. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as we went home and we'd start listening to what we'd recorded, we'd start noticing what the other guy did. And you'd be like, wow, listen to that. Look what I get to work with.
First of all, the reason Mike doesn't get as much credibility, because he played with Eddie Van Halen for so long. Eddie got all the, you know, a bass player is never going to get any credibility playing a great guitar player. Even Jack Bruce, for God's sakes, didn't get much credibility compared to Eric, you know, because the guitar player is always going to be, you know, it's a more interesting instrument than a bass to most people. But Mike is the fastest learner, and guys like Eddie and Joe that can play these tricky things and these crazy lines where you got to, you know, that I can't even hardly play on guitar. Mike learns them like that. Show them to him once, it's done. Joe's not there going, no, it goes like this. No, it goes like this. No, you just say, here's the sign. Da, 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 da. And Mike goes, da, 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 da. Okay, next. No. Boom. The fastest learning sucker on the planet, this guy right here. That's his forte. He can play with anybody. He can play with jazz guys, anybody, because he can learn that shit so fast that he doesn't hold up the game.
What I noticed was there was more of a elasticity in your parts on this record than in past Van Halen albums.
For me, it was just based on the fact of playing with Joe and playing with Chad.
Right.
Because Chad, first and foremost, my thing, when I think about it, like when Joe goes off, does a solo, whatever, is I want to lock in with Chad and build a nice, big, you know, rhythmic foundation so that, you know, I try to fill all the holes so that Joe can go off and just do whatever he wants to do. But just, you know, just between the two of them, you know, it altered the way that I played a lot of stuff, that I looked at the way I played a lot of it.
Specifically, how did you approach playing with Chad, though? I mean,
I like the funk.
Yeah.
You know, and I locked in with Chad on a lot of that stuff, you know. And actually, Chad and I, more than, you know, even like Joe said, that we would talk about it, Chad and I would be talking all the time, going, yeah, well, why don't we try, you know, we'll do this hit there. And I go, yeah, Chad, you're doing this little bop, bop, bop type thing there. I'm going to do this here, and, you know, or I'm going to do this with you right there. And, you know, to me, that's really important to lock in like that rhythmically, you know, with Chad. Like you said, he's a funk drummer, but man, when he some of that element, I mean,
he's a closet rock guy. So, I mean, he was playing funk in the band he was in. It's the kind of band they were. You got a guy like Flea, who probably had a lot to do with a lot of the songs, styles, and Chad's, he's from Detroit, for God's sakes. You know what I mean? he's really could play the hell out of funk. But he's really a rocker.
Oh, yeah.
Every time Chad came to Cabo and we'd jump up on stage, my band, my bass player, Mona, would be like, hey, let's do some James Brown. Chad's up here, right? And Chad'd go, fuck you, I want to rock. And we'd end up playing Led Zeppelin instead of James Brown, you know. So, I mean, he's really a closet rocker, and he plays harder and stuff than any drummer I've ever played. He destroys the drums.
But he just doesn't play hard. I mean, he's got a finesse about what he does. Like, it blows me away every time I play with him.
Sammy, I want to ask you about writing. What were some of the things that you wanted to address lyrically in this band that maybe you feel you
listen had in the past? I'm so running out is more about my lyrics. I've been writing lyrics for every band I've ever been in. You know, it's, I'm always a lyricist. You know, and it's the hardest thing in the world to find stuff. I called Joe the other night with a little heat on. I started talking to him about it. I went out and did this whole venture thing out into the city with my family last the other week because we've been working so hard I haven't done anything like this. And I saw all these weird characters on a Sunday. San Francisco's got a lot of characters. Well, every city does. But I told Joe, I said, man, I'm just sitting here going, man, I could write five more songs right now because I've churned it all up. You know, I'm not educated. You know, I don't have a degree in literature or in poetry or any of that kind of stuff. And I came up with the whole thing just the other day. Exactly. I'm glad you asked this question because I write lyrics about real life experiences. Mm-hmm. And if I lock myself in a room somewhere, I will dry up. I always need to go out and get in the world. I need to go into bars and get in fist fights, whatever it takes, you know. I need to, you know.
You don't really get into fist fights.
Well, if I had to.
They might slap each other around.
Hey, if Chad pisses me off, no, Chad's too big. I'll pick on Joe. But it's funny. I write more about that my real life experiences, and this album is full of them. I think it's the best lyrics, and it's the only reason why I can still write lyrics at this stage of the game after writing as many songs as I've written, is partly because the music Joe brings was very inspiring, and the second thing is because I've learned that as long as I keep having life experiences, I can write lyrics. I'm not going to burn out. That's because that's what I write about, right?
Yeah.
So you meet a new guy, you meet a new girl, you get a new dog, you go for a walk, you see something, you write about it. And my kind of girl, about a single mom, I have a 12-year-old daughter and a 7-year-old daughter, and they're in school. Half their friends, their moms bring them up, or their dads bring them up because they got them for the weekend because everybody's single. I'm thinking, man, these single moms out there. And I called Joe. I said, hey, this song's going to be about a single mom. You know, I said, my kind of girl, well, who is that? Well, I feel sorry for single moms. It's a tough damn gig, mm-hmm. you know? So I nailed it for them. So that's for all the single moms in the world.